Keith, I want you to kind of take a deep breath and sit back.
All right.
One of the brother-in-law's grandsons asked how long we'd done the show, and I did a quick mathematic equation of how many guests that we possibly have had. It's been thousands.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But I think today, Keith, as I kind of peel back for you this story and this author that we have, if you listen closely, you're going to find some very unique things, some that I've just found out this morning, okay? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, then we're going to say hello to Mark Roser in just a second, and this is going to be pretty good. You're blind.
Yep.
He can't hear.
All right.
Okay? And so we're going to be very special this morning with our language so he can read what's going on. I think this is great with telecommunications, how we're going to be able to do this.
Technology.
But listen to this. Do you remember where we just were, Keith, about 3 weeks ago when pole vaulting?
Oh, yes.
State track meet.
Yes, track meet.
And this has to do with track meets. And not the result that we had when we came back with a granddaughter, 18, who didn't qualify at the height that she wanted to and a little disappointed. But there were field events going all over. There the javelin throw. You think of the javelin, you think of the shot put and others. But I want you to listen to this. Ethan Roser, a 19-year-old studying for the ministry at Wheaton, one of my favorite colleges in the suburbs of Chicago, just north of Naperville, asked this question just days before dying in a freak accident on campus. Ethan's father, Mark, kept his sanity in the aftermath of his son's death by writing and wrestling with the same question. God had kept Mark's family safe during 22 years of missionary work in Africa. Mark needed to know why God permitted his son to die now. The answer will surprise you, and it may even transform you. Your view of God and what is love all about. Mark Roser, welcome to Good Morning Ozarks.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I've perused a little bit of this story. You had an account that I'm sure our listeners will enjoy hearing as you unfold it. But before we do that, Mark, would you tell me where you're born and grew up, please?
Yes. I wrote just even before we buried our son, I wasn't sleeping. I get up at night and processing my guilt. I mean, it was, it just shattered my heart. And I'll never forget just crying out to God, laying prostrate on the floor outside my office with tears, asking God why. I said, God, you never hurt me like this before. Why? And it, as you mentioned, the question was compounded by the fact that I had seen God in amazing ways protect us in Africa during our many years there.
Well, Mark, you were on the field, mission field in Africa for many years. I'm sure you saw things. How did this book come about? Through healing, or what transpired to allow you to put this book together to help the rest of us?
Well, it began by, again, processing my grief. It was therapeutical for me. I'll never forget being at my desk and Ethan's picture there the days right after it, and his eyes just full of life and that smile he was known of. Very trouble-free young person, just had a magnetic personality and the full skill set to be a great minister. And I thought, this can't be it. You know, I've got to somehow make him live again and speak again. And little did I know, though, as I began to collect things he had said, and we began to find things he had written to God, and we went through this process, little did I know that God was going to begin in a tangible way. We were going to find and discover things. It was going to be a tapestry of God answering my why question, and in ways I could have never orchestrated, and bring us comfort, and then share that comfort, because I think that's all real ministry. We comfort others out of the comfort we've received from God. And what we've experienced of the Lord, we share. And that's what the scriptures are. You know, it's like John says in 1 John, the things that we've handled of the word of life, we share with you, that we might have fellowship together. And our fellowship truly is with God and His Son. And I experience God in ways deeper than I ever had before. I'd written books on God's sovereignty, books on big questions, taught at Bible school and started churches, but this became a catalyst for a deeper relationship with God than I'd ever had before.
Mark, we need to help our listeners a little bit because Keith and I are privy to the book. So many inside things we love. Like I said, we love Wheaton College, Billy Graham Museum, and that area. Looking at your bio, not only Xavier University in Ohio, but Centerville Bible College has got a great reputation. Let's go back to that day for just a moment. I mentioned the track meet that I was at with my granddaughter, my wife, and I, watching all the events. Am I correct? Is the event that was being practiced or whatever, is it called the hammer, the chain, and the ball?
Yes, the actual event on the day, the hammer throw event.
Yes.
I knew very little about the hammer throw, and an officer came to my door, and he had the phone number of an officer in Chicago, in the Wheaton area, and said simply my son had been in an accident. He didn't know anything more than that. I said, well, how bad has he been hurt? And he said, I don't know, but you can phone this officer. And I phoned, left a message, and moments later got the call back. But in the meantime, I was pacing the floor, and I said, oh, God, you're not taking my son from me, are you? Please don't take my son. He was the youngest. He was the last one at home. He had been at home with us for 4 years. There was 14 years from the oldest to the youngest, and I think all that pacing in the floor, and that seemed like an eternity before the phone rang again, what had flooded back, and this was unusual. I had had a dream just a week before that my son in the dream was telling me he was leaving me for eternity. And I said, why leave me? Why are you leaving me? And it was then that it was said, for eternity. It was like from him, but from beyond him. And it was just, my heart was horror-stricken. And so the phone rang again, and the detective, first thing he said to me, are you sitting down? And I just knew, and I was just in free fall. He said, your son didn't make it to the hospital. He was hit during a hammer throw. And later we found out, we went to the field, Lawson Field in Wheaton, and they walked us through what happened. It had missed another boy by a couple feet, hit our son on the side of his head, and then ricocheted off him and knocked another boy down. And it was just the roughest 2 days of my life, far beyond anything I'd ever experienced on the mission field. And again, there we had comforted many people, but it never came to our home. It was always outside our gate. And it just led me into this journey of grief and crying out to God, and in amazing ways He answered us.
For you folks that are not familiar with track and field events, there's not fans around normally, Keith, okay? But yet you have timers, you have measurers, you have people that are working with the events that are in those areas. And so when you're in the shot put area or the discus area, and in this particular case, they don't throw the hammer in our region here, in our and Brad Dolliff, if I'm wrong on that, please text me if that is wrong. I don't know which schools do throw the hammer. But I wanted to
There's the why question toward God, and obviously there's the how question. The papers called it a freak accident. Again, I didn't know much about the hammer throw, but I know a whole lot more now than I would wish to know. But the first thing I asked was there a whistle or a horn that was blown? They said, no, that's not required. That's not done. It happened during the warm-ups, which I came to find the most dangerous time. It was an errant throw. It was quite outside the chalk marks. everybody thought where these guys were, who were volunteers. He, Ethan, and others who were volunteering were from the soccer team. And they were standing in an area everybody thought was safe. And it was, you know, heads up, look out, and that thing's coming in speeds up to 60 miles an hour. And again, it travels the world records almost the length of a football field.
My goodness. Well, let's walk through. The phone call came, and Keith, take it from there.
Well, you mentioned some amazing ways that God helped you through this grief period. Would you unfold a few of those that I'm sure are in the pages of the book? How did he speak to you? How did he help you?
Sure. I'll give just a sampling. The cover of the book, if you have the book there, I believe you do, you can see my son. Actually, you can see the back of his head and his shoulders, and he's across the street from St. Peter's Cathedral in downtown Chicago, where he and others would go to serve people, to share the good news of Christ. And his friend Jeremiah took this picture from behind him, and he's facing actually a crucifix, Christ on the cross. And he wrote in the Instagram post days before the accident this picture with the words, "Jesus, my God, turns my darkness into light." And obviously that and other things, God began to show us, and my wife, a year later, kind of summed it up by saying God's had an ongoing conversation with us in just amazing ways. I found a love letter he wrote to God, and it just, I thought, where did you get these words? He was asking Jesus to show him the nails that Jesus bore in his hands so that he might never forget the love that caused Christ to hang upon the cross. It was kind of a Trinitarian poem, love letter, where he went Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, asking them to remind him that he might never forget. And I went online, I thought, where did you get this from? Couldn't find anything remotely close to it. And again, there were more profound ways than those. God began to put this together and show us in that ultimate answer. You know, they say you don't give things away if you want somebody to watch the movie or read the book. But the ultimate answer for us may not be one size fits all, but it's certainly we could see God's reason, his purpose. I would say this, though. It's always a redemptive purpose when God allows tragedy to strike one of his children. There are certain principles. Although, you know, one size doesn't fit all, I believe God has a redemptive purpose. And that's the promise, isn't it, of Romans 8:28, that he'll work it together for good.
Mark, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, if your heart's been touched this morning and you've got a family member that maybe has lost someone, you want to copy the book, Darren's standing by right now. Just give him a call at 334-5532 and said, I could really use a copy of the book, Blindsided, A Journey from a Tragic Loss to Triumphant Love. I'm going to ask you one question, and hopefully you'll answer this where Keith and I are very satisfied. Because on our program, Mark, we'll start in the mornings and we'll look at the political climate in the United States and around the world. What Ms. Kamala Harris was trying to do in Guatemala, the border crisis, what's being done in the Pride movement and other things. We look at all these things, and we say to ourselves, Lord, why? And this morning, I came to bring a scripture that didn't work out because of the program, and it was about how God used Moses to part the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land. And I wanted to bring that to Keith, because in the midst of the storm we're walking through, we have dry land. So here's your question. Why is there evil in a world created by a good and all-powerful God?
That is probably the most challenging question. And in postmodern Christian world, secular society we live in, it's become a stumbling block and kept people from believing when they see the tragedy, the calamities, the evil that's in this world. Well, the scriptures, I believe, teach us that, you know, sin has entered the world and death through sin. We do live in a broken, fallen world. And obviously that's part of the answer. Free will, we talk about people making choices. You know, God didn't create the hammer throw, and if we're going to throw weights like that, we need to make sure there's proper safety protocol. Then there's disease, like our whole society, our culture in America, our world was blindsided by COVID. This pandemic we couldn't even see, taking lives, shutting things down. Things that we were drawing life out of. I knew I drew some life out of Ethan. And there's times when God will permit, I don't say he causes, but he allows for various reasons. And again, when it comes to his children, for redemptive reasons, he permits and allows tragedy to strike. But he will redeem those losses and turn our suffering, which Paul had his share. He said this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. I believe whenever tragedy strikes and evil is allowed to have its moment, it's just for a season. And that God's promise is he will use that just like he used the death of Christ. That's the ultimate evil turning for good, the death of God's Son. I mean, wicked hands put him upon the cross. Our sin did. And yet there God worked the greatest good. Our forgiveness, eternal life, demonstrated his love. It's really about love and eternity. It's not wasting our pain, our heartache, but allowing that, allowing God to work that. And and through it, we show our love for God. He first loved us. He put his love in our heart and gave us that measure of faith. And yes, it may be tested, but eternity will reveal that the present suffering, the evil we've endured, won't be worthy to compare to the glory. So the answers are at the cross. All my answers are there, and I do believe God does show us things individually, too, that fit within the context of what we've experienced, but not outside of what Scripture reveals.
Mark,
evil may seem to have its day, but it's passing. It's temporary.
Mark Roser is our guest this morning. I just got a text from the dean of the School of the Ozarks, a Christian-based educational format. Works with my daughter, who's the track coach at head coach at SFO. And he said, first of all, an amazing guest. Number two, he says, the hammer throw is a college event only. Mm-hmm. Keith, I'd like to wrap up my portion with this question. Tragedy happened. But here's the question I want from Mark. Look at the comfort that you have in what you're reading about your son at Wheaton College and this picture in front of the cathedral and his life and where he was with Jesus. There's got to be such comfort to that versus the families, Keith, that we know, okay, just weren't sure where the kids were at.
Mm-hmm. Mark, I want to wrap up by asking you to share with our audience for the next couple of minutes what you and your wife and your whole family has learned, and if they're going through something, perhaps not as tragic as loss of a loved one, but we all go through stuff. Would you share and encourage our audience for the next couple of minutes, sir?
Certainly. I would want to tell the listener that whatever they're going through, and we all go through things, some more extreme than others, and we can always see somebody else who seems to be going through something more extreme than us. But they and I, we need to know that God is sovereign. He is in control, even when it seems like he's not. And the things that seem to be against us, even dead set against us, we need to trust God that he has a redemptive purpose in a way like he did in Joseph's life, the deep pain and hurt he experienced in his family of origin. And sometimes it starts even then, when we're young, he was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold as a slave, ended up in the dungeon. We know the story, but we see God had a purpose. And if we'll just trust him and not allow anything to become something that offends us, that comes between us and God. I'm a big believer. Everything that happened to the listener, that happened to me before I came to Christ, BC, was meant to bring me to Christ. All the history moving toward Jesus is coming. And since I've come to Christ, since the listener, if they've come to Christ, whatever's happened in their life has happened to bring them closer, to conform them to the image of Jesus. That's a big job for God to do that for Mark. That's a deep work. But that's his eternal purpose in Christ. And yes, eternity will bring to light the full answer and understanding. But now we can know in part, and we look at the cross, and we need to appreciate the fact that the death and resurrection of Christ is at work in each one of us who believe, to conform us to Christ's image, to know him. Yes, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, that we might know him. Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. And I've come to know the Father more deeply when I think of how he offered his Son up. I kind of get it emotionally, why it's only Jesus. You know, at that funeral, all those who came to honor my Son, my heart was so full of love for each one of them. You know, if there had been anything between us, all was forgiven. And when we honor God's Son and trust him and believe on him, God receives us into his beloved family, makes us his own. And that outweighs anything that happens to us now, and whatever does happen to us, God's going to work it together for good, going to conform us to the image of Christ, and going to use it so that we can bring others, move others toward Jesus, comfort them so that they can become more Christ-like.
Mark Roser, our guest, blindsided the book. Mark, as I've sat here, I've thought for just a moment, and I'm sure you've been an advocate for this, there's an air horn, Keith, you get, it's on a can, and there's different times that they use that. It's very loud. I would think that maybe that the NCAA and some others, NAIA, would want to look, especially at that hammer throw event and things like that, where a little shot of that air horn could, as you said earlier, make those people a lot more aware. In Wrigley Field, Cardinal Stadium, they've all put netting everywhere, Keith, because of the balls and the bats hitting the spectators. I think that would be a great way. Could you tell us, please, how long have you not had your hearing?
Certainly, there are several things. We discovered the cage that's used, and they thought my son and the other boys were in a safe place, but the international cage that's used is a higher, tighter cage. It reduces the hammer by 30-some percent.
Wow.
Where it can go. And the whistle I mentioned, officials being certified, they're not right now. Not having people stand anywhere out there when the warm-ups are happening. Maybe get more implements and buy a few extra and not try to return them during the warm-ups. Yeah, there's several things that can be done, and you know, the how is another question that does help the reader turn the pages as we sought to understand what happened. And also, obviously, we knew God permitted it and allowed it. There's, you know, paper called it a freak accident. But in some sense, it was kind of an accident waiting to happen.
Sure. Well, Mark, we want to thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate you sharing your experiences with us. And we want to encourage people to get this book, pick it up wherever Christian books are sold.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on the show. And if any of the listeners go to mcroser.com, there are other resources there, and they can have a look inside the book.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. And
God bless you. Thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's been our pleasure, and we'll look forward to having you in our area sometime. Come visit us in Branson.
That'd be wonderful. All I appreciate that.
God bless you, Mark. Thank you.
God bless you.